Have had a more fitting special this morning. It was done beautifully. And that's exactly what God wants from us. He wants us near to his heart. We can oftentimes get away. We can oftentimes in our minds, in our lives, and he wants us close to him. That's what he wants. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading verse number 3. I'm sorry, verse number 4. As we come into Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul here, of course, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, he's dealing with how we as believers deal with worry and stress and circumstances, and how we, in spite of that those circumstances, can have soundness of mind. If you notice there in verse, excuse me, number 7, how we can have peace. It says in verse number 1, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Father, we praise you today because you're good. We praise you today because of what you've done on the cross, the fact of the resurrection. We praise you, Lord, because you're the bridegroom and we're the bride. You sensed man's need, you knew man's need, and you met it. God, would you please, would you meet with us today? Would you reach right into our lives, I pray? Would you speak, Lord, in the midst of our storms in this, so to speak, in this auditorium this morning? Well, thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, when it comes to trials and it comes to hard times or even good times, there's four things in this passage here in the book of Philippians chapter 4 that God wants us to be. Four characteristics this morning of the Christian. I'm going to speak in that subject. Four characteristics of the Christian. And of course, we see there in verse 4, the first characteristic of the Christian should be joy. He or she should be joyful. You know, the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, there in God's Word, it says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." And it's in relation there to really illumination, okay? When I say illumination, it's simply getting the Word of God, hearing it, receiving it, reading it, and understanding it, all right? Psalm 73, verse 26, the psalmist said, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Folks, you know as well as I do, okay? There are days that are depressing. There are days there of life circumstances are overwhelming. Life can seem insurmountable. You know, and you find yourself saying, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can keep this up. How am I going to keep? I can't hardly keep things together. See, the truth is we can't keep them together. The truth is, we have a need, okay, that only God can provide. Our frames are weak. We can think that we're tough and we have this mental toughness and all these things. When it comes down to it, no, God's the strength of our heart. He's the one that we need. You know, John 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." It says right there, we can't do anything without him. You know that portion of scripture, it's not good for man to be alone. I know that's speaking of a husband and wife, you know. It's not good for man to be alone, but it's not good for a man to be alone without Christ, without God. Need him desperately. Folks, the nut houses are full this morning. You know what I'm saying? The prisons are full this morning. The people that are getting ready or thinking about committing suicide are many. We need Christ. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. So you have male and female, but watch it now. From that point on, the Almighty here began to cultivate a relationship with man. It's been his plan all along. You see, he made man for fellowship. He made man in his likeness, his image. He did not make the groundhog or the dog or the cat in his image. He made you in his image. And the Bible says he made us a little lower than the angels. You say there's higher life forms out there. There's aliens out there. Yeah, they're called angels. The aliens and all the stuff you're seeing, it's angels. It's things that God had created. It's not aliens from another planet and all this. No, if you see something in the skies, you see something going on, and you get deceived about this alien talk and these visitors and these flying saucers, no, you mark it down. You're talking about fallen angels. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Because he made man a little lower than them. So are there higher life forms? Yeah. Scripture speaks to it. Right? But God wants fellowship with man. But of course, Satan intervened in the garden, didn't he? And Adam took of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and that relationship was severed with God and with man. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose from the dead to pay man's sin, he built a bridge. He made a way for man to have fellowship, to have that relationship with him again. And folks, it's an individual choice whether or not choose Jesus Christ or whether you reject him, you know. But as many as received him, speaking about receiving Christ, you know, he died for man's sin. We all deserve hell. Every one of us in the building, including his preachers, we all deserve to go to hell. I mean, straight to it. But God made a way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the old story, by the way. That's the one that we all ought to love to tell. I love to tell it. I like to tell it to those that have heard it before. I like to tell it to those who haven't heard it before. I like to tell it to those that just heard it once or twice. I love the fact that God tells these preachers and he tells us that to persuade men. Heard one preacher say we ought to get up and preach like one dying man trying to rescue another dying man. Well, that's what we are. We're all dying. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that old ship of Zion, and we need to get on board. You see, we need him desperately. And the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Folks, it's through faith. It's not whether or not you're baptized. It's not how many times you go to church. It's not being a Baptist. I was out one day and I was telling somebody about the Lord, and they look at me and go, oh, hey, I've been a Baptist for years. I says, well, Baptists go to hell too. They do. You see, there's a sweet, sweet Savior. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, he's a hero. You can take Superman, Spider-Man, the Hulk. You can take all those guys, throw them right in the river, all right? So no, they're no other hill of beans. That's nothing. No, Jesus Christ is the hero. It's not Joe Montana. I mean, you ain't going to know Joe Montana, the quarterback 49ers years ago. But, hey, you know, Super Bowl hero. Nothing. You see, Jesus Christ is a hero. He came to rescue you and I from absolute horror and despair in hell. And by the way, and in this life. We've got a life to live. What, I'm 46. I got some years left. Right? I need that fellowship with him. I need his wisdom. I need his grace. And so do you. You see, here in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul here in chapter 2 said, you know, I count everything but trash and dung, manure, in my life that I might win Christ, that I might know Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. You know what he's saying here? He's saying all the different things that make up my life, those things, if I'll look at them with the right perspective, will draw me close to Christ. The fellowship of his sufferings. You ever been rejected? Are people mad at you? Sure. Do you ever have a disease? Do you ever get sick? Did you ever suffer for anything? Fellowship with Christ in it. He knows all about suffering. He says, look what I've done for you. I've suffered for you. But he's probably not that proud, okay? He's not proud at all. He's actually the personification of humility. But we are. So I'm going to say it. The only way a man knows how to say it is that when we suffer, he understands we can fellowship with him in that. He cares for you. The Bible says that. And a lot of it is because he knows. He's been there. Because of the cross. We're not always happy. It's nice to be happy, isn't it? It's nice to be happy with our jobs, right? Nice to be happy with being at home with family. That's happy. It's good to be happy with maybe you... you bought a new car or something, or a new boat or something. Boy, I'm happy with that. You know, it's good to be happy. But it says here, rejoice in the Lord always. We're talking about joy. Happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness is temporal. Joy is eternal. Joy is something like this. It's something like, even though I feel overwhelmed by these, whatever circumstances you're dealing with in your life, right? Even though I've got those things going on, I know that the Lord cares, and that somehow, some way, he will make all this work out some way. That's joy. And in those circumstances, in those situations, joy is knowing Christ. It's pursuing Christ. Do you pursue him? Do you pursue him? Do you seek him with all your heart? Be fulfilled in him. Being fulfilled in him, that is joy. You see, that is the steadfast hope, the anchor of our souls that's only found in fellowship with Christ. He's the only thing, you see. He's the only thing that satisfies. Yeah, we can get excited about things for a little while, and that all works out, but when it comes right down to it, and you're sitting at home in your living room, and you're staring out the window, and there's nobody in your house, and everything's quiet, and you hear the cat walking across the floor, nothing else matters. You're sitting there going, yeah, but what am I supposed to do next? Hey, you're looking at a guy that works a lot, thinks about work a lot, okay? And so when I get some peace and quiet, it's pretty precious. But I'll tell you what's bad in wintertime. You can't get out and work. You're sitting there in the snow. And you're looking out the window, get depressed. It's like, I don't know what to do with myself. You know, what am I doing? Wait a minute. Be fulfilled in Christ. Wait a minute, Lord, it's okay, because I'm going to choose to be content in you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We got to realize that. See, that's joy. Being content with what his person, I could say with what he did on the cross. We focus so much on what he did. Praise God for what he did, because without that, nothing else matters. But it's his person. The reason he did it is because of who he is, you see. And the fact that he cares. Bask in the light of God. Bask in the light of Jesus Christ.
That's what we need.
So number one, we need to be joyful. And there's something to that. Joy's found in him. Isn't that something, folks? He says there in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, at the end there, he's got the 7 churches, right? And he speaks something to all these churches. Why? Well, because he cares. Whole book's a love letter from Genesis to Revelation to those that'll believe. At the end of those 7 churches, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Listen, that's fellowship. That's having a meal together. That's what he wants from you. Your daily job every day, he wants that fellowship with you. You say, "Oh, well, I got so much to do, I can't think of that." No, you can include him in it, in your heart and your mind. That's what you do. Include him in it. Think of him. "Lord, how do you have me do this? How do you have me communicate this?" Or, you know, fellowship with him. So number one, joyful. But number two, I want you to see, God wants us to be gentle. Look at verse 5. He says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." The word moderation means fair or mild-mannered, gentle. Simply means, folks, be nice to people. That's what it means. Be nice. I was talking to a guy about a certain gun store, okay? And man, he was telling me it was down in Williamsport, and he was telling me, yeah, he told me about how big it was, and they were shooting there, and they had a shooting range and everything, going on about ammunition, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? He just kept going on and on how nice the people were. He goes, "Oh, man, they were so nice in there. I couldn't believe it. This one guy, he was telling me this, and he's telling me that, telling me all about the people." Why was he making such a big deal about this guy being nice? I'll tell you why. Because it sticks out in this world. Most people aren't. You're hard-pressed to find Christians nice half the time. They aren't trying to tell you, give you some sort of funny joke when they see you. They can't just be, "Oh, hey, how you doing?" Be genuine. They got to come up with some joke, something, or something to make you feel you're not sure how to handle them. Don't be that way. You don't want people to wonder, "Well, I'm not sure how to take that guy." No. That's not right out there. Hey, walk in the light as he is in the light, and you'll have fellowship one with another. But if somebody's walking around guessing where you're at, forget it. Think of it. Make sure they know you're friendly. If a man's going to have friends, he's going to show himself friendly. Listen, we ought to be the friendliest people on planet Earth because we have a Savior to share. You see. Not the Baptist. We have a Savior to share. Not our religion. I don't give 2 cents for religion. I don't, sorry. I'm a Baptist. I think it's the closest one to what the book says. That's why. If there's something else closer, see ya. I'm just saying. That's it. He's my king. He is. Not the conference. Not the guy in his robe. Not so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, because he said this or that. I don't have time for that. I got a Savior. I got a God that loves me and cared for me and died for me, and he's what I want. And he's who I want to please. He's worthy, and he alone worthy of worship. You see, that's what I'm talking about. And he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. You know, it says in Proverbs 11, verses 16 and 17, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." Now watch it. It's ancient Hebrew poetry. That's what you're talking about here. Okay? "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men..." Gracious and strong go together. That's what's going on there. "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." Watch this, verse 17. "A merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." So you've got gracious, you've got strength, you've got merciful. All in 2 verses. Okay, there's strength in being gracious. By the way, if you're not gracious, you don't retain honor. God said that. We're to be gracious people. I know, you get in situations it's hard to be gracious. Even when people aren't gracious, God says, be gracious. It can be difficult. I'm not talking about when some guy's trying to kill your family, you're supposed to be gracious to him, be kind, let him roll over you. I don't believe that. The Bible says we're to provide for our families, and protection's one of those things we provide. So I'm not going there. But I am saying, in other circumstances, we're to be gracious. That's how you graciousness retains honor. You see, you need to be gracious. I want you to notice something too. It says there in verse 17, a merciful man doeth good to his own soul. The soul is your reasoning, your mental capacity, your reasoning. It's also sort of the seat of the emotions. Your soul's like you, all right? And you want to do good to your soul. You want to, a gracious person and a merciful person, watch this, according to God, has mental and emotional stability. Think of it. That's what the book's saying. When you're not gracious and you're not kind and you pull something bad, well, you know, and you can reverse it. You go apologize. That's how you handle it. Okay? But I'm saying, and you let that thing go, you're not going good to your soul. It says, he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. Messes you up. Folks, we're spiritual beings. We're emotional beings. We're not some genus and species, mammal, whatever these people. You know what I'm saying? I guess we all fit in one of those. I'm just saying, whatever. I'm just trying to tell you. There's a little more to mankind because he's in the image of God than what anybody thinks. So, anyway, yes, I know I have some people that I work for. And this one lady calls me about once a year. Boy, I get a pit in my stomach every time she calls. And I could say to Kyler and Chuck, you know, two guys work with me. I say, okay, now guys, I want you to go down to so-and-so's and I don't even get it out. And they go, no, Benny, we're not going without you. Nope. Listen. She's crusty. Okay? She's not nice. One day she's going to throw us off her property, acting like she didn't know who we were. She knew who we were. What? Listen, I don't want to... Why do I shriek back from... I don't want to deal with them. I know. That's not right. I know. I've got to be better than that. I get that. Eventually, I come around to that, right? I got to think through that one, though. I want to say, I think you got to get someone else, right? But there's people like that. It's like the guy in a grocery store line. It's like the guy in, you know, you got 15 cashiers, and you're like, oh, man, there's one short line. I can get out quicker, but I don't want to deal with that guy, right? He's grumpy. How about up at PennDOT? Yeah. Right? You go in there to the driver's license place and you're like, oh man. There's all over the years. Now listen, I'm pretty old, all right? I'm 47 years old. I haven't been at PennDOT. There's some people I don't want to get. Okay? Yeah. Why? Because listen, folks, when you and I as Christians are that way, it's not godly. It's not of the Lord. It's ungodly to be mean and grumpy and unforgiving. May I say it this way? It's not Christian. So number one, we need to be joyful. We need to be gentle. But number three, we need to be carefree. Now watch it. The reason we can be joyful and the reason that we can be gentle is because of this next one. We're going to put it all together in a package here. All right? Watch it now. Watch it. It says, be careful for nothing. Now, careful simply means what it says. Care, full of care. Don't worry. That's worry. That's being full of care. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. He tells us here in verses 4 and 5 to rejoice and to be nice to others, okay? But sometimes we're dealing with life issues and circumstances, folks, that are just plain hard, stressful, worrisome. We don't want to deal with them. We don't know why we're in this situation. How can we get out of the situation type of stuff, right? There are things that happen to wear us out mentally, emotionally, and even physically. How do we be careful for nothing? Here's the answer, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer and supplication has the idea. It's if I can put it in here, it's to entreat by humble and earnest prayer. It's really knowing who you are and knowing who He is. And you come to Him on bowed knee, right? And I mean in heart and mind. I don't mean you literally have to, you can do that too. Whatever you want to do, whatever you feel like the Lord wants you to do. I busted my glasses. Man.
I got another pair for you.
Well, I haven't been using them so much, but I look like old Patch of Pirate up here in a minute, so. So, it means you realize who you are and who He is. And you bow the knee. You say, Lord, I need You. Listen, that's a heart toward the Lord. That's what honors Him. When we think we got it together and we can handle this, that's not going to go. It honors Him when we say, Lord, I need You. You see. In Exodus chapter 33, now let me give you what I want to kind of really get at here. Exodus 33 and verse 11, the Bible says that Moses spoke, or that the Lord spoke to Moses as a man speaketh to his friend. Do you see that relationship? Okay. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour your heart out before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Pour your heart out. Listen. Do you have anybody in this earth that you can pour your heart out to? Think of it. There's some close people. I've got some close friends. There's some friends I can tell just about anything. We can tell God everything. And He wants you to. That's what we're talking about. Just the way you feel it. Just the way you see it. He wants you to do that. And in the light of His word, He wants you to analyze what you said. Let Him communicate back to you. Be silent before Him. You know, the problem is, a lot of us, we don't get into silence. We're so busy. We don't have time to get silent. We don't have time to get alone in the woods or in a prayer closet. And the prayer closet is anywhere and anybody can't see you. He sees everything, though. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Right? He knows. Psalm 91, verse 1, He that dwelleth in a secret place in the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Romans 8, verses 14 and 15, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. What examples do we need? He's a friend. He's a daddy. And really, daddy's New Testament. It's intimacy. With Christ. He didn't want all your other stuff. He wants your heart. He has your heart, He'll have all your other stuff. He'll have your thoughts. He'll have your life. You see, He wants heart-level fellowship with you. I'm not talking about reading this book just to get through our chapters, folks. It's good to get through the chapters. I'm not saying that. Read this book to seek the face of Jesus Christ. Read this book to know Him. Read this book to meditate upon Him, upon His principles, upon His character, and then in turn, it'll show you how to live, how to handle a situation, what attitude to have toward it, what perspective you might need. Listen, this book's wisdom. It's a person, though. It reveals a person. You see, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because He's compassionate. Yeah, we know that. How do we know? Because the Scripture says it. Psalm 146:8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. That's who He is. We ought to be too, amen? Yeah. When things are going well in your life, when you need to praise Him, when things are going well with your family or well with your job, well with whatever, you need to praise Him for it. When things are going bad in a situation, pour your heart out. Tell them all about it and how you feel about it. We need God's wisdom in our lives. how to balance things in life, how to deal with stressful situations, with whether it's in the workplace or in the township, okay, or whether it's in whatever it is that your realm is, whatever you're doing, how to deal with those things. You need his wisdom. You need to hear from him. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he used to say to the preachers, he'd say, now, you young men, everything should go up when you preach before it goes out to the people. Well, you know what? Everything in our lives should go up. In other words, we ought to tell God about everything we're dealing with, and we ought to run it by him before we live it out. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's what he wants. It's a relationship. It's him and me. I mean, I'm his and he's mine. You're bought with the blood, right? Sure. So, absolutely. Now, and what about tragic circumstances? Someone close to you suddenly dies. Oh, hey, you've sat there. You ever think, well, boy, what happened? Something happened to my wife or my husband. Come on, we've all had those thoughts. It's not good to go on those. It's not. What something happened, you know, one of your parents, somebody you love. Listen, what am I trying to say? You need to cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ right now so that when you need him, he's the rock, he's the refuge, he's the foundation, he's what you need. Dear friend, he's what we all need. Life doesn't stay the same. You see, life always changes. And that's why we need a rock. That's why we need that foundation. Listen, it can't be moved. It can't be moved. I'm signing up for that. How about you? That's what I want. That's what I need. Okay, yep, Lord, I get it. I'm a wreck. I'm nothing without you. I'm weak. I'm beggarly. Because that's, dear friend, that's what you are, whether you know it or not. When it comes right down to it. We all are. We need him. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. So number so why do I say all that? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You need to cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ and take those specific things that bother you, that are on your heart, and give it over to him. And the Bible goes on to say, this next verse, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It passes human understanding. How could Richard Wurmbrand, under torture, he was a Lutheran pastor that knew Jesus Christ intimately, under torture in the Romanian prisons back in the 70s, take all he took and still try to win those ones torturing him to Christ? Because he had some understanding. Because he had a peace that passed that. No human could do that. Listen, I can't do that. I don't have the grace. Listen, you're not in that situation, so God didn't give you the grace to do it right now. You trust when you get in a situation, God gave you the grace. Why? He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows what you're dealing with, and he cares. So there's things we shouldn't worry about. They didn't happen just yet. But the main thing is, you want to cultivate that relationship, and you want to be able to take whatever it is and lay that down. What are you dreading right now? Is there a situation coming up you're not sure about? Maybe a family reunion or something like that? That you're just, I don't want to deal with that. Maybe something happening at work. Maybe a new boss is coming in. Maybe some medical procedure. Maybe some, I don't know, whatever it is. Tell him about it. Tell him about it. And what gives you that peace of God that passes understanding that'll keep your heart and mind? You notice that? Keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You know, that word keep, it's the idea of the word guard. Guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life, there in the book of Proverbs. It means guard your heart. Well, God says that he'll guard your heart and mind. He'll guard it. Do you notice the rest of the verse there? It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, virtue is moral excellence, that's what that is. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why does he tell us what to think? Because he's good. Because it guards your heart. That's why. So the Lord wants us joyful. He wants us gentle. He wants us carefree. Folks, that's the only way we really live the way he wants us to. That's what you were created for. And he wants us peaceful. What's he speaking to you about today? What's he want from you? What's he want from me? What's interesting about the Lord Jesus, and even in his earthly ministry, is that he always spoke, he dealt with the individual. Oh, he dealt with the masses. I get that. He preached and he dealt with the masses. But you know, he made a huge impact on those he dealt with and his individuals. And folks, he does that through his book. And he does it right in your seat, right in your mind, right in your heart, and he can do it right out in the middle of your mountain or job site or pasture, whatever it is you got. Because he deals with your heart. Because he loves you and he cares. How's that old song go? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. You hear that? That old hymn writer had something, didn't he, Gary? What a privilege to take everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we did not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's bow for prayer. I'm going to pray, and then I don't even know if we have a hymn. If we don't, we're going to sing Amazing Grace, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I want to thank you so much this morning for your word. You are worthy, Lamb of God, for us to give you everything. We're so weak, we're so easily deceived many times, and we're in dire need of your intervention in our lives, because there's just things we deal with that we can't handle, whether it's depression or whatever it is, Lord. There's things that we're just about just drive us out of our mind. And our needs of you. Oh God, would you give each brother and sister in Christ here this morning, and maybe there's someone here that doesn't know you as personal Savior today, they need to make it today, the day that they receive you.